May the Lord help us to commence this afternoon with hymn 143. Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. 143.
Thank you. read from the prophecy of Isaiah, reading chapter 61, 62, and the first 9 verses of 63. Isaiah chapter 61, 62, and the first 9 verses of 63. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. And they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Then the sons of the alien shall be your ploughmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. Then in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Then their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, then the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And they shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. they shall no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish, and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord hath sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast laboured. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. They that have brought it together you shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and they shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Who is this that cometh from Edom with thy garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, travelling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury. Then their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury. And I will bring down their strength to the earth. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord, and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them, according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. We said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Saviour. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Dear Lord, look down upon us. Thou who art in heaven and we upon earth. We have no claim upon thee. Thou seest our hearts altogether. Knowest the unbelief that dwells within. And yet, gracious God, we trust. Thou knowest our desires, and thou knowest, dear Lord, the trials, the temptations, the exercises, the afflictions, the crosses that lie in this congregation this afternoon, and equally thou knowest the desire to come like thy dear servant, the apostle. We would not flee from our crosses, nor our thorns in the flesh, and knowest how poor fallen nature would. But gracious God, oh, we would bow beneath thy mercy seat, and come where he came to receive that exceeding great and precious promise, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And he came under divine grace, to be able to say most gladly, therefore, will I glory in mine infirmities, that the power of God may rest upon me. And Lord, we come this afternoon with all our needs and our infirmity, seeking thy power, that loving, merciful power, thy presence may be known in our hearts, and that divine gift of faith may be given to us, and that we may be enabled to raise this afternoon our downcast eyes to heaven, and to seek the day was grant, the day was looked down upon us, and we might know it and feel it. For thy dear people desire realities. They desire that hand of their God upon them. They desire thy presence. They desire grace to be still and know that thou art God. And dear Lord, we would ever remember that we are in thy hands. We are but grass. It withereth. We're weak. But, O Lord, thou dost hold all things in thy hand. All my times, said one, in thy hand, or that we might know it and be enabled to find our rest in thyself. Lord, the poor fallen nature with all its unbelief looks constantly to the future and has that solemn fear, what will the end be? Gracious God, what mercy it is if we can look up to thee and leave all our cares in thy hands. Thou didst take the son of that dear woman, the child that thou hadst given her, which she was bound up. What precious faith she was given to be able to say, it is well. Lord, we look to thee in all the trials and tribulations of life's pathway. Oh, that we could trust thee as we look back over the journey. How we have proved again and again, when most we need his helping hand, his friend is always near. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. And oh, dear Lord, we pray a day which enable us to wrestle on toward heaven mid storm and wind and tide. And dear Lord, we pray that thou would sanctify affliction. What a wonder it is that the valleys in life's pathway are those precious spots where thou hast stooped furthest and come right down into our needs. And thou hast come just where we have been. We have proved it again and again. Thou art that God who art touched with the feeling of our infirmities and who draws near and speaks into our soul. And Lord, we pray this afternoon that in the foolishness of preaching there may be an application in the hearts of thy tried and tempted family, and a hearing of thy own voice, fear not. I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will help thee. I will strengthen thee. O dear Lord, we know that thou art that merciful God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in goodness and truth. And now we have to confess we doubt thee so often and fear that thou would leave us, because, Lord, we know that we deserve not the least of all thy mercies. But we pray, dear Lord, that thou wouldst come and grant strength and grace and faith and peace in the hearts of thy dear people, that there may be a rest, a knowledge of it, a walking in it, that rest that remains to the children of God, that there may be given grace to roll every burden upon thee, casting all your cares, says thy word, upon him, for he careth for you. Gracious God, remember us then here we come into thy house this day. And Lord, we seek that thou wouldst work through thy divinely ordained means, even the foolishness of preaching. O gracious God, thou dost use poor human instruments in thy divine purposes. We pray, Lord, thou wouldst do it this afternoon, and grant that there may be a feeding upon the word, that, Lord, there may be rooting downwards and a building upwards. There may be an establishment in the truth, and the gracious God, thy will may be done in earth as it is in heaven, that thy work in the souls of thy dear children may be carried on. That they would build up thy church. Come and move and work. O gracious God, we know thou dost work here a little and there a little, first the blade and then the ear. Lord, we watch affectionately and watch to see thy work. That, Lord, there may be fruit to thine own honour and glory, and that the church of God may be strengthened. Dear Lord, we desire that workmanship divine which will stand in that great day. Has visited this congregation with death in the past year. And Lord, we have watched it. Time and again, as we have come into this congregation, there have been those taken. Dear Lord, what a reminder it is to us that time is ever on the wing and death is ever nigh. And how solemn are the issues of eternity. Dear Lord, we pray that thy truth may be brought with divine power into the soul, that the work of thy Spirit may be carried on, sinners may be brought out of nature's darkness into thy marvellous light, and that, Lord, thou wouldst manifest thy glory in the churches in these dark and evil times. Among the young, Lord, we watch them. They grow up about us. Dear Lord, thou dost work according to thy sovereign will. How solemnly we have had to prove in life's pathway. There were many of whom we had better hopes who have turned aside. Gracious God, thou hast given in thy word those two indications of a work that is thine. And one is, by their fruit ye shall know them. And the other is, he that endureth unto the end shall be saved. O gracious God, grant fruit and grant enduring grace, that there may be raised up in our churches, not only here but elsewhere, a generation to serve thee and to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Come on all thy dear people in sickness and affliction. Pray for thy servant who has been in the hospital this day. Gracious God, be with him and his loved one. Remember them in the pathway. Dear Lord, we have proved that the clouds that have come over our own life have been the means of bringing us to the mercy seat, there to do business with thee in deep water. And there to prove that thou art a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. Upon the widows and the widowers in Zion, Lord, we pray they would support in their lonely pathway. And O gracious God, we seek that there may be given that blessing, Lord, of which we have read in thy holy word this afternoon, they'll not be forsaken. But Lord, that they would support and sustain them. Be with the land and nation is vast darkness. Gracious God, thou seest the solemn turning away from the truth that has taken place in our lifetime. Lord, thou hast been a witness to higher criticism of thy word that has cast doubt on it, and the multitude of translations that has had the same effect. Dear Lord, we thank thee for this word that is before us and the translation that thou hast given us, Lord, which thou hast preserved to us over many years. And dear Lord, we pray that thou would use thy word and bless the means of the distribution of thy holy word. And O grant yet an outpouring of thy spirit in this land, that there may yet be a turning of the great tides of darkness. Upon the Queen and the Royal Household, Lord, look upon our Prime Minister and his Cabinet and our Parliament. Dear Lord, thou seest the solemn clouds of persecution that are rising around the truth. That we pray, gracious God, that thou wouldst raise up a witness in high places. And O grant that we may have grace in this evil day not to be left to hide our light under a bushel, but always to be ready, give a reason for the hope that is in us. Bless us now as we gather around thy word. Lord, lead us into the truth which it contains. Touch our lips with a live coal from thy heavenly altar. Fill an earthen vessel as once again. Gracious God, we come in the utmost dependence to thyself. And seek, Holy Spirit of truth, that thou wouldst take of the things of Jesus and reveal them in the hearts of poor sinners. We ask these blessings, thanking thee, Lord, for every mercy undeserved, and ask all for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 117. Awake, sweet gratitude, and sing the ascended Saviour's love. Sing how he lives to carry on his people's cause above. 117.
Seeking the Lord's help, I direct your attention this afternoon to the first epistle general of Peter, reading from chapter 2 and verse 24. The first epistle general of Peter, chapter 2 and verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. We are all fast hastening to eternity, and as we have read here over the past weekend, after death, the judgment, we shall all stand before the judge of the whole earth to give an account of the deeds done in the body. We all stand before him guilty and condemned. We are fallen creatures before him. But how many of us have these words in our hearts, my sins? It is a divine mercy when God, the Holy Spirit, working in our hearts, the divine power, brings us to that judgment bar of God to confess our sins and to mourn over them and to pour out our heart before him. Scripture speaks of my God. My God shall supply all your need out of his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Two things here this afternoon: our sins and our God. To be brought to that place where we need him and where our hearts cry out for his presence. We have spoken of the Lord's servant Peter and his sins and his fallen nature and his weakness. And we see here Peter brought by divine revelation under the work of the Spirit in his poor heart to the cross of Calvary, there to see, to know by divine revelation that his sins were laid upon his God on Calvary's cross. The Lord laid this truth in his heart, and he could speak with this assurance that the Lord had given him, that his sins were laid there. God, in his rich mercy, does the same for every member of his body. Every member of his dear church, when he rose from the grave mystically and effectually, the whole of his dear church rose with him. Their sins in that moment were atoned for and put away. But the Lord has to bring us into this place where we are brought to know our sinnership and brought under his condemnation in our souls, down at his mercy seat as beggars, and to come there to plead with him. We have no ground to stand on of our own. We have to be emptied of all creature strength and brought down to be nothing in his sight. Beggars have nothing, and they come with nothing. You have sung it in your hymn this afternoon. Your dear top lady was brought to that place where he had nothing to bring before his God. He had such a sight of his majesty and holiness, and such a sight of himself as a ruined, fallen, sinful wretch, that he came to the cross of Calvary with that blessed way, the way only God's dear people ever must and shall come. And that is to come with nothing. In my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Now there's one other aspect of this text beside these two, our sins and my God. There's one other aspect of this text which has drawn me to it, and it is the emphasis. His own self bear our sins in his own body. I find something exceptionally beautiful in these words. The Apostle Peter, for all his denial of his Lord with oaths and curses, yet was brought as a guilty, double-dyed, condemned sinner to that mercy seat, to Christ himself, to feel and know by divine revelation his union with his Redeemer. He was brought to know the arms of love and mercy about him. He knew that sweet union that Christ spoke of in his own day of the vine and the branches. There was here a blessed nearness. The word nearness does not describe it. There was a union, a blessed union with his Saviour. We are reminded of the words of the Lord's Prayer at the Last Supper, I in them, and thou in me, that they might be one in us, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. Here Peter had a view of that mighty transaction that took place on Calvary's cross, that vicarious sacrifice that was there offered by the eternal Son of God for the sins of his dear people. He who stood in their room, place and stead and bore that punishment due to them. Search your heart this afternoon. Two things here. Have you come to that blessed hope? Are you in this sweet text? Or, secondly, are you desirous to be found there? Or are you pressing toward that mark? Do you long to have in your own heart and soul before God the assurance that Peter had here through his own self. His dear Redeemer, that peculiar union he had with him. John the Divine did not walk the same way as Peter, but he felt that precious blood of Christ. He could say, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And Peter walked out and had walked out the sweet experience of that precious blood upon his heart and conscience. And he saw here at Calvary's cross that his sins were atoned for, laid upon his dear Saviour, that he died for him, who his own self. Oh, what a wonder when we look at this word, his own self. It is the person of the eternal Son of God incarnate. He and he alone, second person in the glorious Trinity, in his incarnation, he and he alone could bear the sins of his entire church. And here, not only the Apostle Peter is spoken of, it is the voice of all his dear people. As we've said on the past day, the anthem in glory unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood is to be learnt by experience and divine revelation here below, who his own self. There we see love and mercy and compassion, that he himself should come here into this world. He of whom Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We need to know him in the same way as his dear servant Peter knew him. He came to him as a broken-hearted sinner. He poured out his heart before him. There were so many things in Peter's human nature. The scriptures reveal it all. They reveal all those things in Peter. But overall, who his own self bare our sins in his own body. And the margin reads here, not just on the tree, but to the tree. There, on Calvary's cross, they were atoned for, and the Lord bore them no further. Only so far, that sacrifice on Calvary's cross was a finished work, and Peter could see in it that those sins in that hour were cast behind his back. Thy sins and thine iniquities, says Scripture, will I remember no more forever. The Lord said, when on earth many times, thy sins and thy iniquities pardoned, put away. How vital that the Lord in sovereign grace come into our hearts and lives and pathway and meet with us and deal with us and bring us under these words, our sins, to groan under them, not just to speak of them, but to mourn over them. And to be, as the hymn writer speaks, a mourner all our days. Oh, to be brought to that mercy seat. As a broken-hearted sinner, have you come there? It is a blessed place to come to. It is the only place where we shall know any liberty of the gospel and know that precious blood of Christ upon our heart and conscience. There will be wrestling prayer. Our sins, my sins. This is vital if we are to reach heaven. And I believe this. The Lord work in your heart by His Spirit, and you come into this pathway to know yourself before God and what you are in your heart and the deep darkness that lies within. And the Lord makes you like the psalmist, possess your sins, to have them in condemnation in your heart. Then it will bring you to wrestle with Him. You'll have no ground to stand on, nothing to plead, nothing to bring before Him, but one name, and that is Jesus. As the dear man said in Christ's lifetime, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. And I believe here is the deepest love and compassion of the Lord, felt and known in the heart of the apostle, who his own self. Oh, what a mighty sacrifice that was. Bore our sins in his own body to the tree. Oh, have you been over many years perhaps longing that the Lord would draw near to your poor soul in your darkness and temptation and guilt and condemnation? Many things to condemn. Perhaps one of those things is that you have sat for so many years in the house of God and there's been no real earnest desires. And the Lord can and does bring us to some solemn places to give us earnest desires and wrestling prayers with Him. There is nothing to be compared, and I know this in my own experience, there is nothing to be compared to being brought face to face with eternity, as the Lord has twice in my life brought me face to face with eternity, to bring one to a earnest wrestling prayer with our God. And in such places, how we come to know the deep iniquities of our heart. The Lord uses it to bring us down to solemn realities and an earnestness to be made right. And it brings us in wrestling prayer, as it did the Lord's servant Jacob, to his mercy seat, there to wrestle with him. How cool, lukewarm, cold we may be over many years. But if the Lord has a purpose of love and mercy to us and would draw us to himself, to our need of this precious finished work that is spoken of in our text, then he will work in our hearts to bring us there and to bring us to wrestle with him. Jacob, in that solemn hour, when his sins caught up with him, and Esau came to meet him, what a work went on in his heart. I believe he had to go back in his wrestling prayer to Bethel, to those, and that's exceeding great, as Peter calls it, and precious promise which the Lord had given him. He had something to plead. He could say with his in his heart, Lord, thou saidst, I do say to you this afternoon, if the Lord bring you face to face with himself and face to face with an ever-ending eternity, what have you got to plead with him? Oh, how God's dear children are brought to wrestle with him, that they might reach this sweet spot in their pathway and be able to come and speak of that love and blood known in their heart and soul, and to know that their sins were borne by their Saviour in his own body on the tree, who his own self bare our sins in his own body to the tree. And that is the opening of the door of heaven for his dear people. And the consequence will be peace. Oh, it will. There is the remarkable experience to be entered into by all of God's dear children of what it is to be delivered from condemnation. Apostle says in his letter to the church at Rome, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. They look in wonder and they say in their poor heart, under a solemn realization of those eternal and everlasting arms underneath, and that sweet peace in their hearts through the sprinkling of this precious blood upon their conscience, they say inwardly, why me? Why was I made to hear his voice and enter while this room, while others make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? And there is a broken and a contrite heart. Oh, what lies here in this word of Peter? He had been brought into that straight and narrow way that leads to glory. And he had been brought to know his Redeemer as his Saviour, his God, one who had died for him. And he had come into the sweet experience of this precious blood of Christ that cleanses from all sin. To know it in our heart, there is nothing to be compared to it in this world. His own self bore our sins in his own body to the tree. There they were atoned for. Return now to another aspect of it, his own self. Oh, what lies here in the sufferings of Christ for his dear people. His sufferings in his crucifixion, despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. The wonder of it, as Scripture speaks, great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, ascended up into heaven. His condescension as he came here to the humble manger at Bethlehem to take this body into union with his glorious deity, that he might offer himself, body and soul, for the sins of his dear church on Calvary's cross. Well does the prophet Isaiah say, And this is, I believe, in the experience and the souls of his dear church. His name shall be called Wonderful. In their poor way, as he draws near to them, and they enter into the precious experience of what Peter had had when he uttered these words, they see the wonders of redeeming love. Know those eternal and everlasting arms about them that Moses knew in his dying hour. They can say with dear Moses, there's none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and is in excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge. He is the refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Top lady in that beautiful hymn, Rock of Ages. He knew that rock of ages. Oh, when we look at Moses, as the Lord manifested to him his goodness, he hid him in a cleft of the rock. What a beautiful figure that is. Oh, the dear saints of God, hidden in that solemn day in that rock, Christ Jesus, and being brought eventually to glory, to be with him where he is, having this divine seal and knowledge in their hearts that he died for them. There is a sweet communion and a union with the eternal Son of God. His voice is to be heard in the soul. His power is to be known. There is liberty to be walked in. There is sweet freedom. There is brokenness and contrition of heart. There is nothingness to come down before a holy God. Oh, the world knoweth nothing of these things. But the child of God has precious things. The apostle, as we've spoken this weekend, for as much he said as ye know, sweet knowledge, divine mercy, as much as ye know, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Verily was foreordained before the foundation of the earth, was manifest in these last times for you, who by him, who believe in God. The Lord, in his rich mercy, brings his dear apostle to have a sweet measure of the value of this blood. It was to him precious. Everything the Lord gave to him, he speaks of it as precious. He was in possession of those exceeding great and precious promises. One of those was this: I've prayed for thee. What a promise that was. Thy faith fell not. The Lord was near to him, and he could come here before his God. For God, who searches all hearts, knew and knows what his dear people can say before him. I say to you here this afternoon, can you enter into this text and say before your God, who his own self bore our sins, bore my sins in his body on the tree? Oh, I say to you this afternoon, here is the only way of salvation. Here is our only hope of heaven. When the Lord grants liberty in brokenness, contrition of heart and repentance. It will be in our souls a desire to pour out our heart in confession, all our sins, nothing withheld before God, to pour them all out in confession and say with the dear psalmist, pardon mine iniquity, O Lord, for it is great. And then, as Jacob did, to have an answer. I'll not let thee go. This is the experience of his dear people. They wrestle with him. Hymn writer says, wrestling prayer can wonders do. Bring relief in deepest straits. Prayer can force a barrier through iron bars and brazen gates. And the Lord brings his dear people to that place where they say, I'll not let thee go. And you know his own self. Ah, he had passed this way of suffering sorrows. A man of sorrows, we read, and acquainted with grief. But surely he hath borne our sorrows and carried our griefs. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded. Ah, here is the church. In the sweet blessedness of it, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And I do believe this, that when the Lord works in the hearts of his dear people, and they are brought to a solemn realization and a knowledge of what they are, where they are, and how they stand before holy God, one word seems to stand over it all, and that is this: lost. Or perhaps you feel it. I know what it has been to be there. To feel utterly lost before God, and then to wrestle with him, and then to enter in to what the Lord's dear servant Jacob entered into. He blessed him there. This is where the blessing lay, Calvary's cross. This is where the mercy lay. This is where the pardon lay. Oh, have you been brought to Calvary's cross? Sweet place to come to. There is the only true hope in this world. There is the only divine peace to be known. Oh, how beautiful were the words of Christ as he left his dear disciple. My peace. I've long seen a beauty in that word. Peculiarly his. The peace that he had obtained for his dear people in bearing the guilt, the filth, the condemnation of their sins, and walking in that solemn path that he walked in. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Here is the substance of that peace, my peace. And what happens? I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Has the Lord given you sweet tastes of his peace? I believe there are those of you here this afternoon, some of you who know what I'm speaking about. But are there others who are pressing toward the mark, have long yearned and waited for the Lord to come into your heart and life? Oh, why does he not come, you may say? Why does he keep me waiting so long? Well, you know, one of the acid tests of sincerity before a holy God is that we wrestle with him until he hears us. There's a word in Scripture which the Lord spoke of, that man who came to his friend, he wouldn't rise and give him, but because of his importunity, he rose and gave him. And I say unto you, said the Lord, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And we are not told in that word of Scripture how many times we should ask. But the acid test of the prayer will be this: I'll not let thee go except thou bless me. There will be a wrestling of God's dear children. Where are you? Oh, you may well say to me this afternoon, I seem to hear it. Well, I've almost given up. I've wrestled for so long, and the Lord has not answered my prayer. Oh, dear friend, if there's something in your soul which the Lord has planted there, can you give it all up? Can you go away and say, well, Lord, if you will not answer me, I'm leaving it all. Can you leave his mercy seat? Ah, you may say, no, I can't. And perhaps you say that this afternoon, I've nowhere else to flee. You see the blessedness of Calvary's cross, and you long to reach it, and to hear from his own lips your pardon, and to know as your name was written and is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I believe God's dear living family cannot turn back. You may well say, neither know I what to do, but my eyes are up unto thee. But here is a fountain opened for sin and all uncleanness, and God's dear church has to go to it again and again, constantly. And what a mercy, what a mercy that we have one to whom we can go again and again to with freshly contracted guilt and sin, and pour out our heart before him and beg for this rich atoning love and blood to be known in our hearts and consciences, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Oh, the Apostle Peter had witnessed those stripes. He had witnessed that in the high priest's house and the judgment hall, that solemn scene, and he could see now, oh, the efficacy of that precious blood, of the sufferings of the eternal Son of God for him. And he could see the truth. His own self bore our sins, my sins, in his own body on the tree. And I do believe this, that the Lord Jesus will lead his dear people in their lives into solemn paths of suffering, that they might have fellowship with him in these sufferings that lie here, that they might have a measure of understanding, only a glimpse, only a glimpse. But have you had a glimpse? Oh, I believe the Lord gives to his dear people a glimpse. In the sufferings of this pathway, here below, he brings upon them heavy crosses, solemn paths to be walked out, and yet he gives grace to be still and to seek that one thing needful. When the Lord sanctifies the thorns in the flesh and sanctifies the crosses, oh, how he brings us near to himself and brings us to Calvary's cross, into the sweetness of the truth, who his own self bore our sins in his own body to the tree. We have to be shorn of everything here below to see this one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. It is to be healed and to see how it was done and to understand, as Peter could understand, that Christ had died for him. Oh, is that your desire this afternoon? Oh, that I might know that my sins were laid upon him on Calvary's cross, that he is my God. As dear Anne Steele said in her lovely hymn, "My God, my Father, blissful name, oh, may I call thee mine." God's dear living family cannot take these things. They want them to be given. They want them to be imparted. They want the Lord to speak in their own hearts with divine power. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation, who his own self bore our sins in his own body to the tree. Amen.
Tea will be served shortly on the right-hand side of the chapel, and the collections today are for our Needy Cases Fund. Let us now close with hymn 145. Christ exalted is our song, hymned by all the blood-bought throng. To his throne our shout shall rise, God with us by sacred ties. 145.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with you each. Amen.